Welcome to episode 253 of the PC Gamer Podcast for December 20th, 2010. This is your host, Logan Decker, and today in the PC Gamer Slay, I'm joined by my fellow elves, Evan Lottie.
Hi there.
Dan Stapleton.
I may be the tallest elf ever. Well, since Will Ferrell, anyway.
Josh Augustine.
Oh.
Whoa, that was scary. And
Santa Claus.
Of course.
What's scary about Santa Claus?
Lots of things. Podcast producer Andy Bauman.
Mush.
Nice. There's a lot of scary aspects to Santa. For one thing, he breaks and enters.
He's climbing down your children and down your chimney and snatching your people up.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a bad Santa Claus. He should
hide your kids.
Presents.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Right. He demands cookies. And we never did find out how he pays for his labor or who manufactures all his toys.
I think they made a documentary about it. Best Buy does.
Yeah. It's that one episode of Futurama, too.
That too.
Well, the holidays are almost upon us. Gentlemen, are you all ready?
I'm ill-prepared for the holidays.
I've done nothing.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel. I haven't done anything different.
I bought one gift this weekend.
Whoa,
so one
you're
of
ahead
my family members will be happy.
Is Christmas not 5 days away, gentlemen?
No, see, I have this covered. I got married, and I have a wife that takes care of all that stuff for me.
Oh,
that's nice.
Snap.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how it's done.
I'm too poor to have Christmas.
Watch and learn.
So I.
Yeah, but what about a Christmas carol or whatever? Weren't they all poor or something? I don't know. I never read it. I was doing something else.
They were also crippled. Yeah. Do you want me to be crippled, Logan?
I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, those people didn't have jobs. That was the whole thing. They didn't have jobs. They had time to prepare for Christmas.
Oh, that's right. And to, make little things and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, they didn't have computer games then to take up their spare time.
That does take up a lot of time, you know?
It does.
Can you imagine?
But it's time well spent.
Yeah.
I mean, what would the Middle Ages have been like if magic cards existed or something?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think they had literal magic cards back then.
No, but I mean, if we found ancient decks, like the Elitist decks hidden in tombs and stuff that people were buried with, I want to be buried with my magic cards.
Those would be worth a lot
That'd
of money.
Cool.
Totally. That can be arranged, Evan.
Yikes.
It has been quite a year in PC gaming, has it not?
It has.
It's been great.
It has been wonderful. You know what? Actually, I'm still really disturbed that nobody is really prepared for the holiday here. That's really shocking.
Well, how much eggnog should we drink?
You know, you gotta give to get. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's the whole holiday spirit. So, all right, Mr. Stapleton. If your Christmas tasks are being taken care of behind the scenes, what is it you want?
You know, I'm pretty well taken care of. I think if there's anything that I covet right now, it would be those fancy wireless Logitech headphones, the G930s. Is it?
Oh yeah, those are nice.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet, and I keep getting caught on my headphone wire every time I do anything. I've actually destroyed the USB port on the front of my computer because I spin around in my chair and the USB cable yanks out and it completely wrecked one of the USB ports. And two of the other ones, there are four on the front of my PC and two are spotty and one is just unusable.
Wow, between you and your cat, no cable survives, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
So yeah, that would be the number one thing for me, the one thing that I want.
How about you, Josh? What do you want? One thing, one magical item this holiday season.
Can I pick two, please?
What the?
I'm greedy.
The rules mean nothing to you.
All right. Yes, I will just pick one, Logan. I would like...
No. Go ahead. Be all loosey-goosey. If it feels good, do it. My name's Josh. Go ahead.
Cool. I was just going to take three things and tape them all together as one present. So, okay. Right. I need a new office chair. I've been using the crappiest office chair at home, and like my back hurts after I play for like 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I can never decide because, you know, I want to sit in it, but all the good ones are online. I can't find a store that like has a bunch of good ones I can actually go sit in and test out.
IKEA.
Actually, Costco has some good ones. I got mine at Costco, and I'm very pleased with it.
All right. And the other thing I want that I've been asking for every Christmas for like 4 years, but no one ever gets it for me.
Everybody pay attention.
Is it love?
Calvin and Hobbes Ultimate Collector's Set that has all of the comics and the hardbound books. It's only like $120. I mean, you think if I told my entire family, can't they just pool together and buy it? That's all I want.
That is an awesome gift.
But those books are so.
Were you aware of the crash of the economy a couple of years ago?
Hey, Bill Watterson needs money too.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. Those books seem like the least convenient way to read a comic. I mean, that size, you almost need a lectern to put them on. I don't know.
Yeah. But the alternative is buying like 30 separate books to get all of them together in one location.
Right.
I don't know.
Or what about an iPad that is just a Calvin and Hobbes viewer?
Yeah, that would be like an ideal format for reading a big comics compilation is a digital reader such as the iPad or Android tablet or whatever.
Do you think they sell like old school comics on like iPad app or something?
I'm pretty sure they don't for Calvin and Hobbes. I mean, some of them might. I mean, like maybe some like nerdy comic.
Yeah,
like
a wasted Fox opportunity.
Trot. Yeah, yeah. It's only a matter of time. You know, it'll happen.
How about, what is Evan looking forward to for Christmas?
Oh, gosh. I just moved, and I'm sort of feeling like I need a new desk, because the second time I've reassembled this desk, and, I spend a lot of hours at it, and I really want just a clean, open surface. That would be awesome. And I'm sort of looking for, like, a really gaming-oriented desk, whatever that may be.
Yeah, you know, I've had the same desk, I think, since junior high school.
Wow.
That's a piece of crap, but it's very, very basic, you know, just kind of just a plank kind of thing. But it gets the job done. It holds.
If you just want a surface, drafting tables are super cheap.
Mm.
And they're really convenient.
Yeah, that's actually what I prefer for my computer desk. Just like simple, no frills, no drawers.
Oh.
Yeah, like every time you get one of those things with a bunch of shelves specifically for something, then a new accessory comes out that you've got to have, or like a monitor that's bigger than will fit in that allocated space. And it's just like, oh, I have to get a new desk now because I want a bigger monitor.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say, though, I'm a little appalled at the practical nature of some of these gifts. You know, I was thinking like some sort of poison delivery system or something like that, or, you know.
Can't imagine what I would use that for.
Yeah, so
That's what gifts are for. It's stuff you wouldn't buy for yourself normally, right?
Something in the spirit of the holidays, you mean.
Exactly.
Logan wants someone to get him a poison delivery service.
No. I'll tell you what I want for Christmas. And because Josh decided it was okay to ask for two things, I'm going to ask for two things too, because I think it's only fair. One is the Wasp knife, which I've talked about before on the podcast. It's now available at a reasonable $400. And if you go to wasp-knife.com, you can see it in action. It's a knife that has a gas cartridge in it. So like you like stab somebody with it and the gas cartridge goes off and blows them up from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think the intended purpose is to stab like a shark with it.
But I mean, I'm anthropomorphizing sharks, right? So yes. I went by somebody, I meant a shark buddy.
Right.
So, so that's one thing I want. And it comes in a cool carrying case too, with spare cartridges. And I think that's pretty awesome. And also, what a great way to cut like the turkey at home. boom!
And little pieces land perfectly on everyone's plate in the room.
Exactly. It's just like an alien Christmas every year. You know what I mean? Boom!
for the safety of everyone at PC Gamer, please nobody buy that for Logan.
Wasp.com, if everybody pitches in $10, you know, you just need 40 people to pitch in $10 and we're there.
A personal appeal from Logan Decker.
Yes.
Don't forget about Andy. What do you want, Andy?
I didn't. Josh got two, so I get two.
Oh, you're finished.
Oh, no. TAC-15 tactical crossbow. Go to TAC-15.com.
What?
And you will see the most amazing crossbow you've ever seen in your life. It has
better be the one from Black Ops.
53 foot-pounds of kinetic energy.
Foot-pounds?
Yeah, and travels at 400 feet per second. It's just amazing. And if you check it out, you can see why I'm sort of lusting after it. This one, I think, is a little maybe more expensive, but I'm not really sure how much it costs. But really, with some gift items, there's really... price is not the issue. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really put a price on some things. And this thing is awesome. So
you can actually put prices on crossbows. I think they do that all the time.
Well, yeah, but, you know. So, that's what I want. Wasp knife and TAC-15 tactical crossbow. You know where to find me.
Wait, if I'm reading this right, apparently you take a standard AR-15... and you turn it into a crossbow. Is that what this TAC-15 is?
Wow. Yes.
That is incredible.
Yes, it is. So, yes. I'm sorry. I'm looking at lusting over it right now. Andy, how about you?
I want a macro lens, like a 100mm macro focus lens for my digital camera.
There you go. What does that let you do?
Oh, are so I want to take videos of doing things in really extreme close-ups. That's what macro lenses do. They allow you to get like really, really close to something, like pressing on the keyboard and adding big sound effects, like some sort of opening title sequence to a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I want to shoot stuff like that.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, like insects humping and stuff like that.
How you get the insect shots. Totally.
Yeah. You ever watch those Isabella Rossellini insect sex videos?
No.
What? Really?
Why would you expect that I have?
That's so esoteric. I've never heard of that.
I've seen them.
It's bug sex with Isabella Rossellini. She does it. It's called, what is it? Green porno. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, she does like mollusks and other.
She like acts out different ways in which, you know, other creatures have, you know, do their thing. Here it is. You go to sundancechannel.com / green porno.
Is it like a funny promo or something?
No, she's done them for years now. I think, I don't know how many seasons there are, but she's done insects and animals and aquatic creatures.
So what you're saying is that Isabella Rossellini is a pervert. Sexual deviant.
It's an educational series, and it's tastefully done. It's safe for work, mostly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I was wrong about the Sundance Channel all these years.
Right, right.
You were not wrong.
Let's keep open minds. And let's talk about the games we loved this year. Let's go backwards. Andy, how about you?
Yeah.
What captured your heart in its hands and caressed it softly like a valuable jewel?
Well, when you put it like that, are we talking game of the year right now? Is this what this is? Are we doing a meeting?
It's just what game did you love this year?
Yeah. What were your best experiences?
So I guess chronologically, the first one that really got me was Bad Company 2.
Okay.
And then StarCraft 2, New Vegas, and Mass Effect 2, actually. That would be first, because that came out in January. I think that's my short list.
I heard a list.
Yeah.
I want to hear love moments. I want to hear touch points.
I think it's StarCraft 2, because as soon as I got into the multiplayer, I've played almost like 400 games or something. You just give your life up to StarCraft 2, and it's okay. Everything's good. And it's so amazing. Every game is different, but at the same time, it's the same because you're trying to like refine your strategy and stuff. And I love it so much. I can't get enough of it. And I'm having such a hard time. I'm not even good. I'm having such a hard time getting into platinum and I'm still enjoying it. So I don't know. They've got their system is so awesome. Their ladder
system. Discursion sounded like one of those public television documentaries on drug addicts.
Yeah.
It's just so good. And
I was thinking about a church actually. Mm. You give your life up to X and then
nice. And yeah.
You don't really get anything back, but you can't stop yourself from going.
Starcraftology.
Drug abuse does not have a leaderboard. I'm just saying.
I know. Or matchmaking.
True. Yeah. This is true.
Well, man.
Well, it has needle sharing. That's kind of the
same. You're right. Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Good point. How about you, Evan?
Well, gosh.
Talk to me about the year that was.
Yeah, I tried to recount some of the best stuff that happened, and I'm
predicting it starts with A.
Oh, good one.
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the best stuff this year for me happened at ARMA, the best experiences I had, simply because, I mean, ARMA, Operation Arrowhead, is, in my opinion, the most accessible military sim out there, probably ever. I haven't played, I haven't played all the iterations of Flashpoint before that, but anyway, I mean, just moments where we had getting to know these people that we play co-op with. Andy was one of them a lot of the time. And just doing stuff like, okay, guys, there's like 10 of us or 12 of us or 20 of us in a mission together. And there's a tank base we have to go destroy or blow up or something. And we're like, well, let's take that passenger bus over there and just drive it straight into the base and see what happens, just because we can. It's like an unarmed bus. And somebody queues up Ride of the Valkyries over their Ventrilo, over the Ventrilo channel. And it's just this emergent, crazy-ass moment. You know, it's military antics. It is the source of the most serious hardcore moments. I mean, I've led raids, night raids on airports with 30 guys and, like, with separate air support and armor and infantry and recon and coordinated all that. And I've used the editor to attach machine guns to a goat. So
now that is a moment to remember.
It's just that massive spectrum of co-op and emergent gameplay. And
does that goat have a machine gun on it?
Well, I think it does.
Wow.
I can't recommend it as an experience more than anything else this year. But other than that, I had a lot of fun, GoldenEye Source. Just getting back into that style of game. Again, the mod came out last week. It's excellent, guys. Go pick it up if you own a Source game. I think actually even Alien Swarm counts as part of that the Source Engine game. So you can get it for free, even if you somehow don't own Half-Life 2.
Come January 1st, don't be that guy who didn't download GoldenEye Source.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Other than that, had a lot of fun in Mountain Blade Warband. The multiplayer advancement of Mountain Blade, sort of a unscripted medieval RPG where you gather troops and raid stuff. That game in multiplayer is just like the joy of archery. I mean, the feeling of pulling back a string. I mean, Logan, actually, since you're talking about that crossbow,
mm-hmm.
This game has crossbows and has longbows and like, the feeling of pegging somebody at, 100 meters of the crossbow and just really lining up that shot and leading them is just an absolutely nice feeling of marksmanship that you don't get in a game with ballistic weapons because it's, the bullet travels instantly, basically.
Right. And people were asking why I wanted this thing. There you go.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. I recommend that, too. There's a lot of good mods out there for it. I played Star Wars Conquest for the original Mountain Blade, which is basically like open-ended RPG or, say, like, just some of the ridiculous stuff. I'm hoping to do, like, a journal entry on this, series of journal entries on this sometime next year on the website, but, like, playing as a droid, serving, being sort of a member of Jabba the Hutt's Empire and running around, capturing Obi-Wan Kenobi's, and killing Luke Skywalker in my ship and having all these giant battles against stormtroopers and Jawas and, It's just messy and hilarious, and I just love unscripted games. I think that's kind of the summary of what I'm saying here between ARMA and Mountain Blade. And just a few other quick ones that came out at the end of the year. Super Meat Boy, just a breath of fresh air, got me into platforming again, and Bloody Good Time, one of my favorite shooters of the year, probably the best value of the year.
You have to read Evan's review of Bloody Good Time.
The only game lets you flush people into a toilet to kill them.
Why doesn't every game do? Why didn't Mass Effect 2 do that? They had the technology.
I expect we're going to get a flood of letters for obscure games that have toilet flushing deaths. But I'm looking forward to those. Actually, I really want to hear those.
Me too. But yeah, great year. Great year for mods too. If you go over to moddb.com, you'll see the competition of voting going on right now for the top mods of the year, and there are just some excellent candidates out there.
Mm-hmm. How about Josh Augustine?
This year was kind of it was good and bad at the same time for me.
Twist ending.
What? There weren't like a lot of really exciting MMO releases this year. Like Star Trek Online was probably the biggest release of the year, and that was pretty much a disappointment. But it's no secret that I've been hooked on WoW for a very long time. So what I enjoyed this year, and WoW was boring as heck for the first at least half the year. I couldn't even play it for a while. So I absolutely love just kind of having the excuse to kind of go back and just dive into a bunch of different MMOs. There wasn't really one that kind of dominated my time. I just loved hopping between them all. Like, had a really good time in Love when that first came out. What just like a great artistic game that's just, it was so fun. It's so unlike anything else that I'd played. It was really fun. Just building settlements and exploring a world and being like, I don't like that mountain there. Maybe I'll just build a new one. So then you tear it down. You set up power cables to bring power back to the settlement, and you log in that afternoon and like the settlement's being attacked, but you know, one of your friends was there and he was helped defending it. It's just a lot of what Evan says about Arma is a lot of the same stuff that like happens in Love, but it's just, you know, it's different nouns. Instead of buses, you know, you're building small little tunnels. And instead of, you know, insurgents or anything like that, you just have weird, who even knows what they are? They look like people half the time. The other half, they look like floating blobs. But
yeah, they're basically little Monet paintings almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun. Also had a lot of fun. LOTRO, I mean, going free to play is fantastic. I mean, I love free-to-play games because it's so easy to just hop in. Like, when I did the Christmas stuff in World of Warcraft, and I love Christmas. It's so fun. It's, oh, man, I wish there was more Christmas stuff to do. Oh, it's a free-to-play, you know, LOTRO. They have some Christmas stuff. I'll just hop in there, see what the Christmas stuff is like over there. Also, Global Agenda was a lot of fun. It took me back a little bit to the Tribes days. It's somewhere between Tribes and Team Fortress. Had a lot of fun just playing in there. It's fun playing a shooter from time to time. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy them, so that's fun. Battleforge is another one. It's a card game. Just getting back into that game. It came out, I don't know, maybe, what is that, Dan? What do you think, like 2 years ago?
Might have been early 2009, but probably a little earlier.
Yeah. And it's just fun. Like, none of these games were games that I played for more than a month, probably, but it's such a great year for just jumping in and just sampling all the different games that are out there. I mean, people that are upset about like, oh, you know, well, I don't like World of Warcraft, I don't want to play in MMOs. There's so many MMOs out there that you can get out. And even if it came out, Battleforge came out 2 years ago, it's still really fun today. Let's see. Also, Puzzle Agent was fantastic. That was a great game that only lasted a weekend, but the story was fantastic. The puzzle was so fun. It's so easy for anybody to get into, even people that don't like games, that kind of look over your shoulder and be like, oh, what's that? What? Oh, you're trying to solve, you know, the weight problem here or whatever? Here, let me help. And, of course, Cataclysm.
Wait a minute. What about people who are afraid of gnomes? Is it easy for them?
Yes, even easier, because you have to face your fears.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, you face your fears to overcome them. It's basically therapy.
Okay, I'll buy that. That was a good comeback. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
So, continue. So Josh, if you like a lot of MMOs, does that make you polyamorous?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we can go ahead and cut that later.
Zinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cataclysm, I mean, it's such a perfect close to the year. To the year for me that was kind of
Are you gonna get teary eyed?
Yes, I already am, oh, Andy.
Okay,
just one tear down my cheek slowly.
Beautiful.
Like, throughout the whole year, and I imagine a lot of people were like this because everyone was trying to find a new MMO this year, trying to find, you know, the new one coming out. It looks like next year is going to be the one with all the big names. But Cataclysm is just so great. If you are bouncing around MMOs unsatisfied from one to the other one, I mean, hop back into Cataclysm. Just play, send out the year nice with a perfect new little goblin or a new 85 character. It's just so smooth, and Blizzard just puts so much money and time into all and everything they do. It's really a joy. A Christmas miracle, one
might
say.
Oh my God, we're such Blizzard fanboys, Josh.
Wow. Okay, I know that is a hard act to follow, but how are you going to follow up the Christmas miracle, Dan?
Mostly by being conventional. My big ones were Fallout, New Vegas, Mass Effect 2, and StarCraft, and those are the games. Oh, and Civ. Sorry. So those are the games I spent the most time in this year, and they were all big releases. I think the one I probably was the most invested in personally was Fallout, because I love that universe so much, and I think that they did a great job of it, bring back some of the stuff from the original games that I loved, being closer to the setting of the original games and having so many callbacks to those games, I just couldn't stop playing it until I kind of made myself put it aside and play some other things because I have to. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to go back to it. It's just a really fantastic game. StarCraft, I finally made it to Platinum.
Damn you!
I'm still in Platinum, but I'm kind of just barely hanging on. I feel like I'm going to get bumped back down anytime now. But it's pretty vicious in there. Mm. But it is something that I'm gonna stick with for a long, long time, I think. The problem with it though is coming back. Like if you take a break and then come back, you just get thumped.
I'm on hiatus right now.
Yeah,
and it's turning into longer hiatus because I'm scared to go back.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, it does make you feel intimidated going back to it. And actually, the ladder system the league system makes that worse, because right now I'm in Platinum. But the longer I stay away, the more my skills atrophy. And when I go back, I'm going to jump right back where I was when I left, in terms of competition that's going to match me against. I'm just going to get crushed. So I don't know. It's that does make it a little bit difficult to go back to it. Mm-hmm. And Mass Effect just had the best ending of any RPG I think I've ever played. So,
I'd like you to tell me what your favorite dish was this year. What was your favorite meal?
Oh, I'll go first. This was so easy. Mm-hmm. I found this barbecue place near my house in Pacifica. It's called Gorilla Barbecue. Mm-hmm. They barbecue inside of a train car, and the barbecue is fantastic, but they make the best macaroni and cheese I have ever had in my life, and I finally found the secret to it. They were on like the Food Network or whatever. The guy made a book, so I peeked in the book.
Mm-hmm. Is it marijuana? Don't say that.
No. Crumpled goldfish is like the top, because some people do graham cracker topping or something on baked macaroni and cheese. Crumpled goldfish. It is fantastic.
Like the kind you get at the pet store?
Yep.
That would be horrible. So many children just cried.
That's
right
so
now,
Japanese.
Logan. No. The delicious, wow. Tasty the little crackers.
That's fantastic. That is very innovative.
The Fishbowl Cove. Yeah. Damn it, no one's seen the Cove. My Cove joke is failing. I'm just going to keep saying it. Carry on.
Yeah, I didn't catch that either. Andy, what was your surprise dish this year?
So this is back in this place in Ogden, Utah called the Sonora Grill, and it's like this Mexican restaurant, and Mexican's my favorite type of food, I guess, as if I had to pick a ethnicity of food. And they have ceviche and just like awesome succulent dishes with amazing sauce, like pork with just incredible sauce. So that was my favorite dish. It was just a lunch, really, nice. But still good.
Evan, what about you?
Yeah. Have you been to a Sushi Time right by where you used to live, Logan?
No.
Nicastro.
Where is it?
It's like right underneath that bookstore. You know that bookstore on, what is it, Market?
Oh, gosh. I haven't been there since for like 10 years.
Like Market and 16.
I always forget because it's like buried in there, in that little coat. Yeah.
But yeah, they do.
It's really that good? Really?
It's super tiny. It was probably the best sushi I had, which is...
I mean, this restaurant's actually subterranean.
Yeah. It's like a little basement. But it's very cozy in that way. It's good. I also had some really good like if you take like an acorn squash and you put ground beef in it, just perfect by itself. Bake it. Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't at the sushi joint, was it?
No.
That would have been awesome.
No.
You really got my attention when you said acorn, but that still, ground beef and acorn squash, that sounds really intense.
Good.
Wow. I had a fish pie at Hog and Rocks. That was really fantastic.
What kind of fish?
It was like, I think, chicken pot pie, but with fish.
Huh.
It was fantastic. It was like pie from the sea.
They use like tilapia or cod or something probably.
Yeah. It was all these different white fishes and stuff. Mm. And there were scallops and chunks of this and chunks of that and probably cat. I don't know. It was just all I know. It was so steamy and delicious and wonderful.
If it's the chicken pot pie of the sea, shouldn't it be tuna?
Whoa, man.
You know, there's no need to think inside the box.
You're asking a Jessica Simpson question.
Oh,
no, I don't think that I am.
Yeah, that was intense.
You haven't heard of that moment where, like, she...
I have, but that's when she didn't understand that there weren't actually chickens in the sea.
Right.
But this is... Yeah, this is something entirely different.
Anyway.
I kind of refuse to believe that was actually real, just for sanity.
Yeah.
It had to be staged. Anyway, continue. Yeah. Before we actually discuss anything about Jessica Simpson.
You already did, my friend. You already did.
Yeah.
I have to say the game of the year for me was Mass Effect 2, easily. It's like, you know, when you look into a prism and it separates out all the colors from light, you know, that's what the game was. It's like you looked into the prism of this universe and all these different worlds and people and stories just sort of, you know, spun out like a giant rainbow of gaming joy. And yeah, it was just amazing. There were so many great stories and it forced you to deal with all these moral dilemmas. You know, that all had parallels to our, you know, darkened human history. The characters were fantastic. I think it's one of the only games I can think of that seems to be aware that women constitute more than 50% of human population. You know, you have your full spectrum of female characters. You know, you have rogues, you have heroes, you have law people, and you know, it was dazzling. I've played it nearly 3 times now, and I will definitely play it again before Mass Effect 3 comes out.
I would just like to point out that Fallout New Vegas also has a good representation of women.
Yeah, but that many, like we're over half.
It has a lot.
You know? That's what, you know, I mean, it's just like, that's the world, you know, these are their actors, their movers, their doers, you know, not just people sitting around in the background.
Well, my only complaint would be that Liara would not do anything with me. So she was pretty stationary.
Oh,
if you know what I mean.
Maybe it's the way you talk to her.
She's all focused on the
because
shadow. Dude.
I didn't tell you what she did for me.
Whoa. Is that how you gonna play this?
Now Logan, in that you know, saying that Mass Effect is like this, you know, aware of feminist kind of concern thing, are you factoring in your kind of sycophantic ship's assistant? What was her name? The redhead
Ashley or no?
No.
I know you're talking about like Checkets or something.
Yeah, I forget what her name was, but she was what? The assistant girl on the ship that was always...
That was Ashley, yeah.
No.
Ashley was the girl.
Oh, no, right. Yeah, what's
Kelly
her face?
Chambers?
Kelly Chambers. Yeah.
Reason, like, feed your fish and stuff.
It's like, I'm all going to come on to you, but then not put out.
Well, and have you seen, like, the ending, the kind of after thing with her?
What?
Well, no, I keep liquefying
her. How do you get her?
I never... she always ends up...
dead.
Yeah.
She stripper dances on your table in front of you, and you want.
It's never Frolic. Consummated, but yeah.
Can I just say, like, I don't want to broaden this discussion too much, but like, I really wish those characters were a little bit more complex in the sense that like everybody sees sex as the goal for that character. Like that's like
what else would you see?
Well, you just think about like all the quests that you go through, and the end of that character. Like, in terms of your understanding of them, communication, interaction with them is intercourse.
No, the only reason, yeah, the only reason you talked to her in between missions, there's no other reason.
At the end
reason.
Of my relationship with Jacob, we embroidered. and I thought that was a really touching sort of way to wrap our sort of story arc.
Mm-hmm.
We did a sampler together, you know?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you know, the alternative is where you know, she didn't have to have anything to her at all. Like, she could have just been this background character that reads your mail. You know, it's like she didn't need it to have that, and they just added that because, oh, she's flirty, you know. I don't think that you know, the fact that they made her like the, oh, this, you know, cute secretary girl that you could, you know, have romantic interactions with, I don't find that like objectionable.
And thanks for making us all feel like a bunch of pitiful nerds.
Yeah, I just realized that my mom's going to be listening to this podcast, and she's going to be really ashamed of what I said.
I do have a complaint about Mass Effect, and I only complain about this because the game was so good that one aspect to me really stood out as just being awful. And it's actually a consequence of some of the game's best features, because the stories are so good, and the voice acting is so dynamic, incredible. Even amazingly, the processed voices, you know, have a lot of a personality, that whenever it comes, there comes a time in the story that the 3D models are required to do some real acting, the game just falls apart. They can't, they're just not up to it, you know? Most of the time they can't even act like they're acting.
So in the one shots, like the over the shoulders, they're good, but whenever they have to like move around or do something, it's like awkward.
Well, there are some exchanges when like there were times, seriously, when I thought my PC locked up, only but I realized that Shepard was trying to look thoughtful. You know, she just stood there, you know, and I realized she's like taking in whatever the character is saying, but they just don't have that expressiveness. And but on the other hand, you know what? I'm glad BioWare didn't blow hundreds of thousands on motion capping and tweaking the facial performances, because I don't think it would have improved things that much. I'd prefer that developers focus on interactivity and, you know, how a game plays, rather than, oh, that the facial expressions are perfect. Again, I'm not that interested in watching a movie.
Yeah, everybody's freaking out about the LA Noir footage, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like
nobody knows what you're actually going to do in the game.
Yeah, you know, and it's not that big of a deal. It's like the face, you're just not going to be able to get the resolution of real human faces. And it just, to me, is a waste of time.
Spoiler alert, Evan, you shoot people.
you noir them
to
death.
I think that the voice acting is way far more important to carry a story and more than adequate to convey all the emotional cues, you know?
Well,
If you can have both, though, it's better. So
I think in order to get anywhere where you even need to approach the level of fidelity with human expressions will take so much effort and money that I don't think it's anywhere near.
Have you seen that LA Noir footage?
Yeah, and to me, it's very off-putting. You know, you're still well in the uncanny valley territory. Right. So by spending all that money and effort, to me, you're actually taking a step backwards.
I know, for me, the faces looked fantastic. It was the body animations going along with them that were wooden and bad. But the facial animations were fantastic. Like just the way the mouths moved. Mm-hmm. You know, like just being able to like purse their lips and you know kind of and bite their lips and stuff like that. You just don't see that in other games. There's a lot more subtlety there. And I do think they achieved something great there.
Yeah, I did note, I think a few podcasts ago, how amazed I was by the eye movements in Mafia 2.
Yeah.
They were just, the eyes themselves had real depth, and the flicker of the eyes just looked fantastic. I really did think that they were human eyes. It was pretty amazing.
I'd like to add on to my Games of the Year stuff. Mm-hmm. The Patrick Stewart's voiceover for LEGO Universe was fantastic, and my best my favorite voiceover of the year. I love Patrick Stewart, and he was so excited and spirited. Like, he was really into that voiceover. I was impressed.
He always gives it all. Always. He never phones it in.
He's a class act.
He really
is. I want to be that guy's friend.
The thing that made me respect him most, there's a video on YouTube, I'm not sure what you would search for, but like where he's described, like somebody's interviewing him and ask him why he doesn't play video games. And he gives us like this very thoughtful, like respectful answer about it. Like, oh, they're just, you know, they're not for me, et cetera, et cetera. And but he respects this and that. And
Also, he's a 60-year-old man.
Well, that's what it is. He didn't overreact with like this broad, you know, categorical indictment of violence or et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, you know, just a very humble approach to things that recognizes that, you know, they're not for him.
Oh, another one that I want to call out is amnesia. I really, really liked that. That was a very scary game. Hello?
I'm looking for...
You're alone.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought the sound just cut out. It went completely, like there was no shh or anything. Sorry. Oh my God, wouldn't that have been crazy if, right, when I said that, like everybody died? Yeah. That would have totally added to like the creepiness, you know?
I would have been thoroughly creeped and probably dead.
Yes. Yes, it was. I love fear. I'm very pro fear. I like promoting it. I like causing it.
It's true.
And I thought that the game was made me very fearful.
Yeah, this is not the man we want to buy the wasp knife for.
Why not? I can use it responsibly
to promote fear.
Yes. I also thought, like, in terms of just pure entertainment, Singularity was highly, highly entertaining. And I thought that was a little gem from the year.
Is that the best game and few people or no people played?
I think so. I mean, it was a fantastic ride all the way through. Just like Wolfenstein, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great sound effects. I love wonderful sound in a game. What about anybody have gaming resolutions for the next year? Let's begin with Mr. Dan Stapleton. I would like to know what you are going to resolve to do next year in games.
I've just got such a big back catalog of games that I've meant to play.
Then what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to try to play some of those games.
What are the top two games on that list, the backlog?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to play some Ruse, and I've got to play some Assassin's Creed 2. I just started playing Assassin's Creed 2, so I'm, you know, getting a step ahead on that one. But
once you get rolling in Assassin's Creed 2, it's rollicking.
Right. And Ruse, it's a very respectable RTS. I just haven't had time to give it a shot yet, so that's next on my list.
How about you, Evan?
Last year, I said to myself, I'm going to play an MMO, because I knew... Champions was coming out, and that looked interesting at the time. Star Trek was coming out. I love Star Trek. Didn't follow through on any of that. But I got no excuse in 2011. There was an amazing group of choices. Terra, Guild Wars, so on and so forth. Tor, yeah. Mm-hmm. DCUO. So, and a lot of those are more action-oriented, so there's really going to be an opportunity there for me. I want to, you know, get into Guild and just have that kind of social experience. That's half the reason I play Arma. So that's got to be good. I think atop that, though, I really want to have, even among us or some of our other friends in the gaming industry, like, you know, Diablo's the best example for me. There's probably another game that lends itself to this, but like on launch night, bring our PCs in the same room, you know, play Diablo co-op like as far as we can for like 8 hours or something. Just go for it. You know, have those kinds of like LAN party events that I love to have in high school and things like that.
That's a powerful proposition. How about you, Josh?
Mine are actually a little eerily close to Evan's.
You're going to resolve to play an MMO? Really?
No. No, but I am definitely, I'm playing, all the MMOs come out, Tor, Guild Wars, DCO, Terra, all that stuff. But the thing I really want to do is get PC gamer guilds set up in those, at least those three major MMOs, and kind of like Evan, just get everyone there on launch day together, having those big events in-game, you know, just having everyone just, I mean, the experience of just being there on launch day with people you know, and then to experience that with three different MMOs with the same group of people in a year would just be incredible. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to, I've been wanting to set up a League of Legends tournament for a while because we've got like signed posters and a bunch of cards and all this stuff to give away. And so I want to like arrange a Peace Gamer League of Legends tournament. And I'm working with them to see if we can get any infrastructure help on their side. But just have a big tournament where we can all just kind of play one weekend.
Nice. Mr. Bauman.
I gotta get platinum. Like I'm on the cusp, and it's ridiculous I don't ever get platinum because I played so many games and I've been training so hard. And just like I watched the Day 9 Daily. Shouldn't I just be getting better? Like, right? Like, come on. But
that was a very plaintive cry.
I know. But you know, the great thing is that once you do it, it's like you only have yourself to blame for getting better. It's a good life-affirming thing.
It is. It is very much life-affirming.
Yes. Plus, I'll be better at everything. If I'm more accurate in my clicking and my micro, I'll be better at editing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I have resolved to be a very tyrannical leader of something, and even online. I've received lots of generous offers for buddies in EVE Online, but I'm actually stealthing it because I don't necessarily want everybody to know what a backstabbing son of a bitch I am. So, so yeah, that's my thing. I'm going in there and I'm going to draw blood.
Nice. I'm going to be wielding
virtual wasp knives, and I'm going to bury them into everybody's back.
I'm really excited for like next year at the same time when Logan reveals that he is like the one person in EVE Online that everyone hates. Like, he'll be the most widely known EVE character.
But also fears to their very marrow in their bones.
I am, in fact, Dr. Squirrel.
Absolutely, yes! And no one will have guessed it. Nobody. I'm also going to play way, 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 way more mods than I did this year because I kind of like fell off the mod wagon and I think I missed a lot of really cool stuff, beginning with GoldenEye Source. Shame on me.
Mm-hmm. I want to make more stuff too, like a level. I want to make another Arma level or something.
Yours is great, I'm telling you.
Made for me.
Do it again.
In fact, I want to enslave an entire city. and then put them and then make them make mods for me. And then what I want them to have as many children as they want, but at like the age of 2, the children are taken away and are trained to make mods for me.
Sent to the mod mines.
Yes, exactly. Why don't we take a couple questions before we wrap?
We can do that.
Let's do it.
Hey, PC Gamer, it's Tim. I was just wondering, have you ever heard of a little program, it's kind of like Steam, called Deseria or something like that? Because I was downloading, I went to download a Half-Life 2 mod earlier today, and it said I required it. And I'd never even heard of it before, and I downloaded and I found a bunch of mods for Half-Life 1 and 2 games, a bunch of other games for never even heard of, and they look awesome. I guess it's been out for a while. Have you guys heard of this or anything? Let me know.
Well, sir, I think you should read PC Gamer more often. I think it is pronounced Desura, right?
I don't know how it's pronounced, but yeah. We did a story on it.
We did a new story. I think, gosh, it was a long time ago, though. It was like nine months.
How do you spell it? I can look it up.
Desura. And you can go to desura.com, desura.com. And it's basically a... like Steam mods. Mm-hmm. It's a digital distribution service for communities.
That was in our March 2010 issue.
Did I not say 9 months ago? I am so good.
Yeah.
It looks like a fantastic service. I haven't, like I said, I fell off the mod wagon for a while. I haven't used it in a while.
That'd be a great place for you to start getting back on your mod wagon.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm going to do it today. I am going to join, I'm going to sign in, I'm going to download it, and I'm going to start using it. So once again, that's desura.com, and it is exactly what you are looking for, a delivery service for mods. And that's just wonderful. Is it not, gentlemen?
It is.
Oh, completely.
It is.
Plus, it's not just mods, too. I think I may have sold it short. I do believe they actually sell games as well. Yes, I'm looking at it right now. They've got Machinarium, Revenge of the Titan, Braid and Osmos. Machinarium, I thought I wouldn't play it again because, you know, I've solved all the puzzles, but I've been listening to the soundtrack so much that I actually just want to go back and just for the tour again. Plus, there were a lot of puzzles that are replayable. So it was just such a great, charming game to play. Plus, I found out about this movie called Kooky You can find it on IMDb.
Is it from the guy who did the designs of the characters?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see it. I'm going to the UK pretty soon, and a friend of mine has it on Blu-ray, I think, or something like that. So I'm going to watch it when I'm there over the holiday.
Brilliant.
Yeah, apparently it's a live action, but with puppets, which is like what the whole world is to me in my head. So there. Well, 'tis the season, and this particular holiday season is an orgy of value. Is it not?
It really is. I mean, not, you know, not that there aren't things happening on Direct Drive, which I think over the last week, one in five of your purchases, for example, you had a 20% chance if you bought anything for it to be free on Direct Drive, and that's just absurd by itself. I mean, by any standard. But Steam just rolled out its holiday sale, and it's Monday. We're recording this, and they are doing these sort of 24-hour sales, include just insane stuff like Super Meat Boy for $3.75, whereas regularly $15. I mean, the game just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's $4, and we gave it a very good review. But other than that, through these just absurd pack deals where pretty much every THQ game available on Steam, every Warhammer game, every Covenant of Heroes game, Frontlines, Metro, Red Faction, Stalker, Titan Quest, for $50 instead of, $400, which is what it normally costs. So we're talking about like 87 and 80 and like 60% off some of these packs. Everything
Madness.
Everything Valve has made, period, that's available on Steam for $50. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I think we should also point out Impulse is also doing some great sales, and yeah. even the Games for Windows Store is doing some great stuff. Every year I think we say this, but this year has been better than any previous year for mm-hmm. sales. I think, and it just keeps getting better in terms of value for PC gaming.
It's insane. Nuts. It's so aggressive, and I honestly think publishers and the folks that are running these stores have fun with it. They have fun doing these promotions and doing up these little menus and making them look nice and things like that. But, the good news about the Steam sale specifically, it's going on through January 2nd. So if you know anybody that's upgrading for Christmas or is getting a video card or a new PC, get them on this. Like, they will save hundreds of dollars buying new
games.
And
that is what Christmas is all about. That's the meaning of this season, is it not? It's helping people.
Yep. And spending time away from your family playing your games on your PC.
Hells yeah, absolutely. So I want everybody to go out there and hug your PCs and give them some nice TLC. You might also want to blow out all the dust from the case. It has been a really lovely time. Thank you all for joining us. And we do hope that you have the most lovely of holidays. Don't forget that we have a big red phone here in the office with a bright light in the middle. When you call us, toll free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question for the PC Gamer podcast, that big bright light starts blinking like crazy. Alternatively, you can send your questions in MP3 format to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can also subscribe to our fantastic magazine by heading over to pcgamer.com and filling out our interactive form. If you crave instant fame, go ahead and send your awesome screenshots to letters@pcgamer.com. And keep in mind that we will be gone next week on a secret assignment. Right, everybody?
Yes.
Doing secret stuff. And it's going to be very exciting, but we will be back with the PC Gamer podcast the first week in January. So until then, this is a rock legend, Logan Decker, saying thanks for listening. We're looking forward to getting together with all of you again in the next year. And I don't know, should we wrap with a Christmas carol?
No.
Nobody wanted to do that. That's really shocking.
I would certainly be up for that.
I'm running on Ricola life support.
Take it away, Josh.
Yes. Well,
no, I'm not leading.
One?
Yeah, I think you have to now that you're
which
the
one
that...
I don't know.
All
what's the best
them.
Christmas song?
Silver Bells.
I like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, but it's not a very exciting song and probably not something to lead up on.
Here's the problem with that song. Okay. Is it God rest ye, comma, merry gentlemen, or God rest ye merry, comma, gentlemen?
Oh. Like, I'd never considered that second one.
Wildly different interpretations.
Yeah.
You know? One's a little sinister, frankly.
Yeah, it's true. Hmm. I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't. I am a failure. I've been singing something that I don't even know what it means.
Song. You could be singing like God kill everybody.
I could be, yes.
Wow. Okay.
It's not very Christmassy, I guess.
I don't actually know that one, really. Hmm. Mm. The only one there's Jingle Bells.
Yeah. What? DCUO, they had Mark Hamill record the Batman version of that song. It's fantastic.
Whoa. Is it the Batman version or the Joker version?
Sorry, the Joker version.
Jingle Bells, Batman Smells?
Yeah, Robin laid an egg, and then he starts cackling at the end of it all. They don't have a place to use it in the game yet, but they figured, you know, hey, we have him in the studio. Why not record it? We'll find some place.
Why not? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Okay, let's hit it. 1, 2, 3. Jingle Bells.
Evan's not singing. His lips are
Evan,
moving.
You have to sing. Dan, you too.
I don't think that's in the rules.
Yes. Everybody's saying, oh, we're going to sit here on this podcast all the way through Christmas if we have to until everybody sings. Andy, that means you too. You got it? Are you in or are you out?
I'm afraid people are going to hear me.
Yeah, doesn't it break Skype when we all sing at once?
3, 2, 1. Jingle bells. Stop.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Sing it like you mean it.
Oh, the Meow Mix song. We should do that.
We can be here all day. Nobody goes home until we do this right. This is the damn season, all right?
I'm so hungry.
3, 2, 1. Jingle bells, jingle
bells. Jingle bells,
jingle bells. Pathetic. Go back to work. Thank you, everybody, for joining the PC Gamer Podcast. Have a wonderful holiday. Bye. You know what? Mostly this makes me want to die.
Okay. Yes. So typical Skype UI there.
I don't like any UI.
So
I will stop using a mouse.
Yeah, we totally trackball 2011. Everybody. In fact, I'm taking away all your mice.
Then my goal is to beat Evan in an FPS, and it sounds like it will be easy.
You know what's weird, Andy?
What?
Josh came into work this morning wearing a sleeveless mesh tank top. Isn't that bizarre? Like in the middle of December.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, wow.
Did he have a tan that was all like with that pattern on him now?
No.
Is he trying to get that going?
I don't know what's going on, frankly.
Like I listened to like the first 10 minutes and just
You're like, oh, I lived it already. I don't need to live it again.
Exactly. So this is fun. Now I have a reason to listen through it.
Yeah. See, I have to live it, and then I have to edit, live it again. And then by the third time, I'm not going to listen to any of it.
Yeah. Can't blame you there.
All right.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon, dude.